T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's something we'll look at. We do have guys like in Jerry's situation on our team that are going to be going into their last year. Jerry will be, you know, one of the guys that we do discuss, and maybe at the right time reach out to his agent and see if there's a way to extend him.
The time is apparently right. Jerry Hughes, an extension from the Bills. 2-year extension, $23 million and change, 19, looking like 19 is guaranteed. Jerry Hughes, back with the Bills for another 2 seasons. Bills OTAs, 11 o'clock this morning. Sean McDermott will speak with the media, presumably questions about Jerry Hughes.
I bet he does get a question about
among
Mr.
other
Hughes.
Things.
Yes.
The Bucs parting ways with Gerald McCoy.
He might get a question about Gerald McCoy.
The Colts have signed Chad Kelly. I'm seeing all the headlines that Kelly's getting a second chance.
Is it how many? Are you sure?
I feel like it's more.
Are we counting college too?
I feel like it's finally
more than that. Yeah,
4. Washington linebacker Reuben Foster torn ACL, out for the season. Golden State beats Portland. They become the first team to go to 5 straight finals since the Celtics in the 50s and 60s. Steph Curry and Draymond Green triple doubles. Draymond had back-to-back triple doubles in the final 2 games of the series on the road in Portland. Sam Reinhart 2 goals for Team Canada. They beat Denmark. San Jose, St. Louis tonight, 8 o'clock. The Sharks facing elimination. Zdeno Chara says he'll be ready for game 1 for the Bruins. And baseball, Yankees beat Baltimore. The Jays lost to Boston. The Mets did win, but lose Yoenis Cespedes to a ranch injury.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not salad dressing. It was on his ranch.
Should have gone with blue cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens. The headlines brought to you by Northtown Honda. Come experience the best way to purchase a car. Easy to get to from all points in Western New York. Start shopping today at northtownhonda.com. 803-0550 to join us. We're going to get to Chris Brown in a moment. Talk some more Bills football with him since they will be on the practice field today.
Also got to talk Netflix. He's responsible for my latest Netflix binge. Chris is.
Dead to me? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dead to me. Yeah.
He's on the line?
Is it? Okay. Well, let's just get right to the weighty matters.
Chris, I heard you talking with Murph about that show, Dead to Me, and you got us on it, and we ripped through it pretty quickly. So thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, believe me, I'm usually not on the cutting edge of what's new on Netflix, but we just kind of stumbled upon it. And, yeah, we blew through it pretty fast, too, and we were already looking up to see what's going on for season 2, if there's going to be one, and it's still not confirmed yet. So, I mean, they certainly left the cliffhanger there to have a season 2. So the writer, Liz Feldman's pretty smart the way she wrote it, because she kind of wrote herself a second season. Someone will pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. I'd recommend it, Howard. It's pretty good.
Well, I was actually on Netflix last night trying to see what was out there these days, and he had some trailer on for something called Historical Roasts. Apparently they're going to do roasts of, like, people. Whatever. It didn't look that funny, actually.
Howard, anyway, you could blow through it on Memorial Day weekend alone. It's only 8 episodes.
Yeah,
and Dead to Me? Oh,
and
really?
They're a half hour each.
Well, I've got some time. I'm off on vacation next week, so I guess I could go through all that. All right, I will give it a shot. Chris, you know me. Will I like the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's compelling.
Okay.
Christina Applegate does a great job.
Okay.
It's still weird to think about her in current terms, because people like you and me, you know, remember her from Married with Children.
She
was a completely different character. So.
Or Anchorman, right?
And she's very good.
Yeah.
She's really good. She carries the show.
Yeah, the Anchorman movies, right?
Don't tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
That I didn't
think
see.
She was in that?
She had that one. I didn't see
that
one. I'll look for that, too. Chris, the news of the day from the Bills is about Jerry Hughes. So give us, it's something that I don't think is surprising. We just played a clip from when Brandon Bean was on with us just after the draft. He had mentioned this was something they wanted to address once they got through the draft and everything. So it certainly makes sense to the shorter term, the need at that position. He has still been productive. What are your thoughts on Jerry Hughes getting the extension, or at least agreeing to an extension, according to Adam Schefter?
Yeah, I saw Schefter's report. So, you know, I mean, it does make sense. I think I actually heard Brandon on your show when he said that. So it sounded like it was something that both sides wanted to address at some point in time. The question was just going to be when. You know, and with cap money still available to them, it made sense to do it sooner rather than later. You know, why wait? The guy's been ultra productive. So what you have is a guy that, you know, I think we've all seen the Pro Football Focus metrics that said he led the league at the defensive end position last year in pass rush productivity. And I think his pressure rate was second or third in the league. It was somewhere around 18%, which is a gaudy number for those that might not be too familiar with it. So even though he's turning 31 this August, this is a guy that is still ultra productive. While it may not have happened in the easiest category to measure it, which is sacks, you know, he still led the team in that category last year with 7. But I think it was an interesting evolution last year in what he decided to do as a pass rusher. Because with the new quarterback rules, you know, driving quarterbacks into the ground, landing your full body weight on them, can't hit below the knee, can't touch the head, Jerry kind of decided on his own, from now on, I'm just going for the strip.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the ball out now. I'm not even going to worry about the sack as much. And I talked to Lorenzo Alexander about this at length last year when I kind of went to him to kind of get his synopsis of how the defense performed. And when we got to the topic of Jerry, it was his opinion that Jerry could have easily had about 5 or 6 more sacks last season had he not taken the approach that he did, which was to get the ball out. And, oh, by the way, he also led the team in forced fumbles last year with 3. So I think his approach still had a tremendous benefit to the team, even though it may have been at the expense of his own sack totals and Pro Bowl consideration, because that's the first thing that all these players look at around the league when it comes time to vote for the Pro Bowl. So pretty selfless move on his part to still try to be productive for the team in a different way. But I don't think he's shown any signs of slowing down, and I think that's probably why there's some comfort in the fact in extending him. And very quietly, guys, Jerry has become a louder leadership voice in the locker room. I know that might sound strange to some people because they might think of his personal fouls and things like that, but he did cut back on those last year. And I think with everybody kind of sensing that Kyle was going to be a veteran voice that was going to be leaving the room, Jerry kind of stepped forward a little bit more as a leader last year, and I think they're expecting him to fill that even more alongside Lorenzo this year.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting kind of character arc, Chris, that Hughes would have been the fiery guy. Bills fans would know him from penalties. They even joke about that Gary Hughes is the one that takes the penalties,
right?
Not
the other personality.
His alter ego.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just a function of maturity and becoming older, or maybe a change in the coaching staff and a change in the people that are there? I mean, obviously, they're a very far cry from Rex Ryan and how things used to be around then.
Yeah, I think there's a maturation process that's gone on here. I think Jerry, from where his career started, he was just trying to get his, because he couldn't get on the field. He couldn't get an opportunity. And so I think when he got to Buffalo, he's like, well, now's my turn to get mine. And I think he was very individualistic in his approach. Not to say that he was a me guy in any way, but I think he was primarily focused on getting his numbers up so he could get the big contract. And, you know, who can blame these guys for doing that? He was coming up on his second contract. He wanted to hit it big because that's the one time that, you know, players like that can swing for the fences, the second contract. You know, and he had back-to-back 10-sack seasons and got his big contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now as he's kind of advancing to the second half of his career, I think he's realizing that what he wants is to win. And he realizes that as a veteran player on this team, he's got to pull some of those younger players with him. So it's been an interesting maturation process for him where I think now, you know, he's just as committed to winning as anything. And if it means, and we saw it last year, sacrificing a sack here or there, maybe to get the ball out and get the ball back instead in a more advantageous field position for the offense, he's going to take that route.
Hmm. That's interesting, Chris. And it's funny. I was going to ask you if the team goes to Hughes and says, don't worry about sacks, let's try and get some takeaways. Because as you know, you just said, usually when you get sacks, you get paid. You know, that equals a pretty good sized contract for defensive ends. It's a two-part question. One, was that something that the team thought, hey, Jerry, get the strip sacks? And do you think that our team's going maybe more towards pressure rate than sack numbers because quarterbacks are getting the ball out so quickly these days?
Well, I know defensive line coach, Coach Teerlink, he was very big proponent last year in the practice setting of having his defensive linemen get their hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Shaq Lawson benefit greatly from that last year as an end. I think a lot of these defensive line coaches are realizing that the ball is coming out so quick that no matter what pressure scheme you devise, getting sacks is going to be more difficult on a regular basis. I mean, unless somebody completely blows an assignment and you got a free runner, you know, you're probably, you know, unless you're an all-world sack contingent, you know, you're probably best off to play the percentages. And the percentages say if you're closing but you realize you're not going to get there in time, get your arms up, because batting a pass down still means there's no yardage gained and loss of down, basically. So I know Coach Teerlink was coaching that, and I think with the way the rules were being officiated and the publicity that Clay Matthews got last year in back-to-back weeks with some costly penalties for his team when he was still playing for the Packers, I think it really kind of set in motion a lot of defensive line coaches around the league saying, hey, let's just go for the ball. Let's not worry about hitting the guy, because you basically, at top speed, have to aim your body at an area between a quarterback's knees and his shoulders.
Right.
And if you hit anything else, it's a penalty.
And then how you take him down to the ground, too.
Well, yeah, it's risk-reward.
Yeah.
So I think they saw a greater reward in getting hands up to bad passes or to just go for the ball.
On the one other defensive line question for you, Chris, Gerald McCoy is now a former Buck. Do you think the Bills would be interested at all in him at a very small price?
I think it's an interesting conversation to have. I think Brandon Bean's a guy that believes if there's any way to improve his roster, he's going to do it. But I think at the same time, what is the end game? I mean, are you trying to just completely load up? And is there playing time for everybody? Gerald McCoy, at least all indications are, still wants to get paid a lot of money. The market may dictate to him very quickly that that's not going to be the case, or at least the kind of money that he's looking for. So then it becomes a question of, okay, you say you want to go play for a contender and win a Super Bowl. How true to your word are you on that? And then it becomes a conversation about who he deems to be true, you know, championship contending teams.
Right.
Are the Bills there yet? I don't know if Gerald McCoy is going to be convinced of that if there are other players in the conversation, you know, like the Chiefs or the Patriots or teams like that. So I think there are a lot of hurdles to clear. I'm not saying that, you know, the Bills wouldn't pick up the phone and at least inquire because Brandon Bean is a due diligence type of person. But I think there are some hurdles to clear there in terms of truly understanding what McCoy's parameters are, what kind of playing time he could accept, because here it's a heavy rotational system.
Right.
And they want to get at Oliver on the field.
Yep.
So, I mean, McCoy would be a great guy for Oliver to learn from, but I just wonder if the playing time dynamics work, if the true fortunes of the Bills in 2019 are what Gerald McCoy believes could be a championship type run. I don't know if he can be convinced of that. So there are a lot of things that have to be ironed out before I think we can even realistically consider him here in Buffalo, but you never really rule it out.
The other thing I wanted to bring up with you before we let you go, Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com. If you go to their website, you'll see a piece he put together on Zay Jones. And there are a few interesting things in the article. And it's funny, Chris, one of the things you forget, I did anyway, about Zay Jones was the injury issue a year ago. And, it's, you know, rookies come into the league and they talk about how that first year before they get drafted, you know, they're not in OTAs, obviously, and they're running around, they're getting ready for the draft. You're drafted, rookie minicamp. And then that first offseason is big for these young players because, they like Josh Allen, you get all the reps, you get in the OTAs, you get to minicamp. Well, Zay Jones didn't have that last year, you know, because he wasn't healthy. And you kind of forget about that. This is his first real off-season of workouts with the Bills.
Right. And I think Zay was, publicly anyway, working against a label, which I think is a label that he still carries with him on the part of a lot of fans, and that's that he's got drop issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of went away last year. His catch rate was much higher. His drop percentage was significantly lower. And we have to remember, last year at this time, he was having knee surgery. He missed all of OTAs.
Yeah.
He didn't step on the field in training camp until week two. And yet at the end of the season, he leads the team in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. I mean, he had 7 touchdowns receiving last year. That was more than double the next closest guy, who was Robert Foster, with 3. So I think very quietly, he became a very reliable target for Josh Allen. As a matter of fact, 5 of Zay's 7 touchdowns came in the last 6 games last year. So, you know, he was a guy who was suddenly at the end of the season, very good on-field chemistry with Josh Allen. Now, just imagine if he had a full spring, summer, you know, to work with Josh, which is the case now. So, you know, I think that combined with the fact that he really went to work on his body, he's added about 8 to 10 pounds of lean muscle mass to his upper frame. I think he recognized that one of the areas where he struggled to make plays was in man coverage. He is really good at finding the soft spots in zone coverages. But when he had a physical corner on him, manning up and playing press, he had a lot tougher time getting open, getting separation, and winning contested catch battles. And I think that's why he decided, let me get bigger, let me get stronger, so even if I can't get the separation I want against press, I'm going to be able to muscle a DB off and still make the play. So he's trying to diversify the effectiveness of his game by getting bigger and stronger, and he has not sacrificed any speed by doing that. So I'm really interested to see the kind of season that he can put together. Because if he can put a 50-catch season with 7 touchdowns together for the 29th-ranked offense in football, which really didn't have many other threats besides Robert Foster in the passing game, now you've got all these other threats that are coming to the table. He's going to have a full offseason of work, getting every rep every day with Josh Allen. You know, he could really make some hay this year and have kind of a breakout season, I think, provided, you know, that they're throwing the ball as much as maybe some of us anticipate. I mean, I think everybody's thinking, well, we're still going to run the ball with all the running backs we have. But I think with the receiving weapons, I think we're going to slide, you know, maybe a little bit more towards the pass. I don't think this is going to be a 60% passing team ever. But if we get up around 56, 57% of the plays going to the air, that wouldn't surprise me. Maybe even 58%. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we were. You know what? Jeremy and I were talking about that this morning. Like, philosophically, you know, do Bean and McDermott still believe, like, running the ball, it's a run-based offense, it will be a run-based offense, or is that somewhat a byproduct of who you have at quarterback and how effective or ineffective your passing game is, you know?
It's going to largely depend on the effectiveness of Josh with the short to intermediate game, because if he has a short to intermediate game, now you suddenly don't have to rely on a run game, you know, in those second and three situations, second and four situations. You can truly be unpredictable. Because Josh can hit, you know, the underneath throw for 6 yards and an easy first down. So if he's on the money and is showing the maturation that they need from him and the consistency in the short to intermediate passing game, I think the offense can have a shift that maybe not many people are expecting.
You can read Chris's story about Zay Jones at BuffaloBills.com. Lead journalist joining us here on our Western Hotline. As always, Chris, thank you for coming on. Thank you for giving us your time on the show, and enjoy the OTAs.
You got it, guys. Take it easy.
Bills are on the practice field today at 11:30. Now, it is not fully open to the media. It's kind of like a regular season practice, so they watch stretching and individual workouts. But Sal will be on hand for that, and he'll be down there at 11 a.m. when Sean McDermott steps to the podium and meets with the media. And Sal's going to join us in our next segment to talk a little bit more about the Jerry Hughes contract extension, which Sal has confirmed it's agreed to. Not signed yet, but Sal confirmed the extension.
Let's do some instant trivia, driven by Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes has a career 47 sacks. He is, where's that rank? Active players. Ooh. What do you think?
47. 35th.
28th.
Okay.
Because
you're number, not going to ask for 27.
Number one has retired. Number one was?
Peppers?
Yes, Julius Peppers.
Retired? Okay.
So, the active top 10. The active top 10.
You don't want the top 27?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
There, I mean, I don't even think you'll get the active top 10.
I'm telling you, I won't. Brayton, hopefully you can help.
But do you want to know who's 27?
Might be able to
actually
help.
Funny enough, you know who is one sack ahead of Jerry Hughes for his career right now? Ziggy Ansah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The guy that we're trying to get. Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know who's one ahead of Ziggy Ansah? Kyle Williams.
Wow. That's funny.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fun with weird facts. Anyway, all right, the top 10.
Active players.
Active.
Okay, top. J.J. Watt's got to be in there somewhere, right?
Fifth with 92.
How about Clay Matthews?
I'm sorry, J.J. Watt is fourth.
Fourth.
All these numbers are off ones. Clay Matthews, yes. Sixth.
Jason Pierre-Paul still active, right?
He is active. He is not in the top 10.
Really?
Hmm. No, JPP is 12th. He is a sack and a half outside of the top 10.
Okay.
Here's where you say he's a finger and a half outside of a full hand, too.
Oh, that's just...
Come on, it's right there. How do you not do it? How do you not do it?
Wow.
Oh, man. How do you not?
Wow, man.
What am I here for?
That's... You can say something about fireworks while we're at it?
No, you know.
Oh, the fireworks are really erupting on the show today. Wow.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark with this guess, but Khalil Mack?
No.
No?
Okay. Khalil Mack is... Boy, let me find him. 25th.
Okay. It's not bad.
Who am I thinking of? Robert Quinn?
No. Robert Quinn is also incorrect. He is 15th.
How about Von Miller?
Number 2.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Active
Very
sack
good.
Leaders in the NFL.
Well done, sir.
Number 2. Let me know when you want to go to Hintland.
We're getting really close.
Yeah, we're getting close.
How about number 1, active sack leader?
Terrell Suggs.
Correct. Just changed teams.
Arizona now.
Yes, he did.
How about
Ndamukong Suh?
No, Ndamukong Suh is near the top 10, but not in it.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald is also not there.
Dang.
DeMarcus Lawrence?
No. This guy has played for Miami for his entire career. Actually, he might even be retired. No, he's not on the Dolphins anymore. He's now with the Titans.
Cameron Wake.
Correct, Cameron Wake.
Thank you. Always confuse him with the tight end.
Number 5 has spent his entire career with Washington.
Oh, Arakpo?
No.
He's retired. Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan?
Kerrigan.
Very good.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yep. Purdue guy, I think, maybe? Purdue guy?
You've got 4 more in the top 10. One of them, 9th. This guy played for a really good team, but was bad for their culture and didn't subscribe to their way, so they traded him somewhere else, and they've missed having a pass rusher.
Someone from the Patriots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who was traded to?
Not Jamie Collins.
Traded to Arizona.
Oh.
Chandler Jones.
Correct.
Very good.
Chandler Jones.
Syracuse dude. Well, they're always bad for the culture, Syracuse guys.
Very, very bad.
They're really dragging
things. Kansas City Chiefs, 78.5 sacks.
Justin Houston?
That's right, Justin Houston.
Didn't he just retire?
He did?
Did he? Okay, yeah.
Well, we'll add another one in. Hey, that makes Cameron Jordan now in the top 10. Then there is...
Cameron Wake, Cameron Jordan, Jordan Cameron. I confuse all the Camerons.
Arizona... Defensive end.
Justin Houston is not retired. He's with the Colts now.
Moved to Jacksonville last year and was very good. Pro bowler.
No, he's not an end. Calais Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was inside guy. Okay, Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell.
All right.
And there you go. That's all of them. Meanwhile, I saw a story yesterday from... Boy, where was it? Was it Bleacher? Somewhere. I apologize for not knowing. About the Bills-Jags rivalry. The newest rivalry in the NFL is Bills-Jags.
You're kidding me, really?
So I clicked it.
Because of Marone?
That.
The game here with the Fournette fight?
That.
Losing to them in the playoffs?
That.
Jumping through tables and taking over bars in Jacksonville?
Keep going.
Jalen
Ramsey?
Oh, Josh Allen, Jalen Ramsey?
Trash talk.
So I knew about all those.
Ernest, not Wilford.
No, going too far back. There's one more thing.
In Bills-Jags?
That's a brand new part of the rivalry that Jacksonville is putting on a T-shirt.
The Leonard Fournette fight?
No.
Okay.
There's a brand new, I'm teasing, I'll tell you when you get back.
Okay.
Brand new thing, brand new part of the rivalry that's on a Jags T-shirt.
Duval!
That's not it.
I know, I just wanted to say that on the show. Eerie. No? doesn't have the same thing as Duval. All right. We'll do that when we get back. By the way, correction, practice is open fully today. So the media can watch Sal and his cohorts, can watch the whole OTA practice today. See if we can give away $1,000. Plum is your code word at our National Win Cash Contest. Text it right now to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 9 o'clock to text in Plum, P-L-U-M, to 72881. Our National Win Cash Contest. Another code word come up at 9:25 this morning. And four more chances this afternoon for you to win $1,000 from WGR.
WGR Sports Radio 550 Breaking News, powered by Radio.com Sports.
Jerry Hughes signs a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills. 2 years for Hughes. Our Sal Capaccio has confirmed a report from earlier, and we'll find out more at OTAs today. The media has access to OTAs.
Yes, full practice.
So there you go. So stay tuned for the latest. But Jerry Hughes extended by the Buffalo Bills.
Adam Schefter first reported from ESPN saying the extension is worth up to $23 million over the 2 years, and $19.5 million is guaranteed. This would have Hughes, who was under contract for one more year, now under contract through 2021. The breaking news on WGR, powered by Radio.com Sports. And brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. So, headlines, other headlines.
Warriors win. What else is new? Five straight appearances in the finals for them. The Colts signed Chad Kelly. Reuben Foster torn ACL out for the season. At the World Championship, Sam Reinhart, a pair of goals. He's playing in line with Anthony Cirelli, Lightning player prospect. And maybe we mention how the Sabres can get that guy a little bit later in the show, because there's a rumor, a suggestion about the Sabres and Lightning pairing up on a trade. Canada beats Denmark. San Jose, St. Louis tonight. Elimination game for the Sharks, 8 o'clock.
Headlines brought to you by Smith Boys Marine Sales, your number one source for boating in Western New York.
We're going to get to Sal, but first I tease this. We can get Sal's thoughts on this. It was SB Nation. The article is that the Bills and Jaguars have the silliest rivalry going right now. That it's just funny. It's a good rivalry and it's silly. You mentioned Marone. There's Jalen Ramsey and Josh Allen. There's the fact that they got into a fight, right?
Yep. Shaq and Fournette.
Ramsey trolling Josh Allen on Twitter. The brawl that was here. Well, the next piece of this is I got to give the Jags fans credit. It's funny. It's a perfect way to troll Bills fans. So who did they draft in the first round? The Jags.
No, Sal? Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Oh, the kid from
Kentucky. So there's a Jags fan site that sells a shirt that simply says "The Good Josh Allen."
Oh man,
that's great! I love it.
Right, so as a rivalry goes, and as a little bit of trolling goes, that's funny. Pretty funny.
I got to get it and put a Bills logo over it.
Someone asked me right at the draft like day or night. They said if defensive end Josh Allen sacks quarterback Josh Allen, will it be the first time someone with the same first and last name has ever sacked somebody with the same first and last name in NFL history?
Well, that's
I have
question.
No idea, but it sounds kind of interesting.
It sounds legit.
It does.
I'm trying to think. There was no quarterback named Ndamukong Suh.
Well, was there anybody
Smith,
that
as far as I know. I
was there anybody with the same name drafted in the exact same spot from one draft to the next?
Probably not.
That's right. He was
point.
Seventh. Really that's right. Yeah,
right.
Right.
Hmm.
That's your research for today,
yeah.
Sal.
Get on it.
I'll get on that while I'm watching OTAs. You're
yeah.
Right.
Do it. Well, you got a phone, so do a search. Don't ask Hamilton to do it. He probably doesn't have the internet on his flip phone.
Yeah, my apologies, by the way. Earlier, I was confused on the watching stuff. But, yeah, we are allowed to watch everything
good.
Today. So
cool.
We'll be out there today. Today and the next two Tuesdays after this, by the way. Now, they have 10 OTAs, 9 left because they had one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Media is out there for 3 of them, and today is one of them.
Very good. So, Jerry Hughes, what are your thoughts on that?
What I find interesting is, and I just tweeted this out a little while ago, guys, can you name the only players still on this roster since the end of 2016? Like when Rex Ryan's last weeks, basically.
So who is here that played
for Rex? I saw your
Rex?
Tweet, so I'm not going to guess because I saw your tweet.
Shaq Lawson.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry Hughes and who else played for Rex?
Think defense.
Is it all defense?
No.
And one special team.
I'm not going to get the special.
Was
Lorenzo Alexander?
Lorenzo and LeSean McCoy.
Okay, LeSean McCoy, yeah.
What I thought, no, Reed Ferguson was or wasn't?
Well, he was on the practice squad.
Let's
so
not forget
yes.
Reed Ferguson.
I know.
Who could?
So,
Mr.
So five
Sal Capaccio.
Total. Yeah, there's five total if you count Reed. But yeah. To make your point, Howard, you're right, because Since then, what's interesting to me is only three of them, including Reed Ferguson, by the way, Reed, Lorenzo, and Jerry, the only ones who've actually signed an extension with the team who were on the team then. So the point is, since McDermott and Bean got here, we know they've kind of made a concerted effort to flip the roster to get their guys and the kind of guys they want, the players they want, culture, all that stuff. It's rare. It's very rare to have any of the players that were on the team already when they got here to have signed an extension to keep staying here. Some were already here, and they just let them play out their contract. Shaq Lawson's still here. I don't know if he'll be on this right. year. I mean, we'll see. I doubt it, to be honest with you.
Their first decision was whether or not to pick up the option year, and they decided not to.
That's right. Even you know, even Sammy, you know, Darby, all those guys. You know, we know that Reggie Ragland, all those guys are gone. These guys, I mean, I would say that Jerry and Lorenzo are kind of like unicorns here because
that's it, right? Just
they have
two.
Not signed guys to extensions that were here when they got here.
Yeah, because McCoy had already signed his extension when he first got traded, right? So it's
that's right.
Inherited and extended, it's two guys.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. So I think it shows you what they actually think about Jerry Hughes. And if I had said to you when Sean McDermott was hired and we found out all about him, what he's about and all that kind of stuff, if I had given you what percentage Jerry Hughes would sign an extension, still be here beyond 2019, I don't think many people would think so, right? He just seemed like the kind of guy that might not fit, you know, the personal foul penalties. You know, he got into a shouting match with his old coach and Doug Marrone. He just didn't see him. But you know what? I think Chris made a great point. He's grown as a leader. I think he's grown as a person off the field in the locker room. And sure, he still can be Gary Hughes. There's no doubt about that. And it can be frustrating sometimes when you see that. But I think he is a guy that you would not have anticipated this happening with.
No, I think, it, you know what, Sal, I think it could have even been the discussion of he'll be 31 or 32 when the contract expires. What kind of production are you getting? But honestly, I probably would have had the discussion, I think, would have ended with his personal foul penalties. It's not, you know, McDermott would not want a guy who goes rogue, so to speak, or loses control on the field and costs his team first downs.
That's right, and I think, you know, those are things you still have to rein Jerry in on sometimes, where he can get, you know, really emotional out there, and I think you want him playing with that edge. And look, I think you need some players like that on your team sometimes. You need guys who are, they're pushing the envelope, they're pushing the edge. I think, you know, you need guys who are going to do whatever it takes to try and win, and you just have to make sure it's a controlled aggression, and that's been the knock on Jerry. But the one thing that's not been a knock, or the many things that haven't been a knock, I should say, is his play. He is seventh all-time in Bills sacks. By the time he finishes his career in Buffalo, if he plays out this next three years, which is the two-year extension plus this year, he's going to be top three most likely in all-time Bills sacks, guys. He's had a heck of a career to this point.
And he's their best defensive end.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's why you look at the extension and you put it into perspective in terms of the position and what you have at that position. He's clearly the best guy. And after that, you've got guys on either one year left on their contract, or in the case of Trent Murphy, multiple years, but you wonder, you know, what's going to happen with him if he can't get through the season and stay healthy.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, it doesn't seem to me, and I don't want this to be the case. I don't think that they were, you know, well, boy, we didn't address defensive end for the future yet, right? Like, you know, going into the draft, we knew that could be something they look at. We know they didn't pick up the option on Shaq. And there's been a lot of talk from me and you and everybody included about how thin they are at the position, especially going forward. I think this year, as I've made the point, they'll be okay, you know, but going forward beyond 2019, it looked pretty bleak. And you never want to see a team make a deal like this out of that kind of fear, right? That it's like, well, dude, what are we going to do? I think this is an extension because he's a damn good player.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, we want to shore up that position for the future, but this isn't because, oh my God, we better run to Jerry Hughes and give him a contract extension because we have nobody locked up beyond 2019. I think this has been, and remember when Brandon Bean said to you guys months ago that it would be something they would visit down the road.
Yeah. Well, there's still value in the player. You know,
That's right.
It doesn't appear that he's a declining asset. And honestly, you know, look, you factor in Ed Oliver. Let's see what kind of impact Oliver has on Hughes, on the defensive line, on the pass rush in general.
No doubt about it. And, look, I think with Ed Oliver there, with hopefully a healthy Trent Murphy, you know, Jerry Hughes can continue to be not only productive, but maybe even put up better numbers than he has and what he did last year. And I think Jerry was close a lot last year. He was right there. Jerry was very – I went back and kind of – Looked over some of my stuff from last year and like how, you know, Jerry was playing and other guys too. But one of the things I noticed was I praised Jerry Hughes a lot. Like he often showed up on my post game column, you know, and Sal Sticks and, you know, and me saying like, hey, he made a difference in the game. He didn't have two sacks necessarily, but he made an impact on the game. And there were way more times where that was happening than it wasn't last year. And I think he is still a very, very high level player.
Yeah, and that's why we were having the discussion with Chris a little bit that, you know, I know defensive ends for sure are judged, especially a guy like Hughes, who has a reputation as a pass rusher, are judged on their sack totals. But in an era where it's becoming harder to get to quarterbacks, where, you know, they're getting the ball out quicker, you know, sometimes it might just be pressure rate and, you know, how maybe you get the guy to force him into a mistake because you're getting a pressure even though you don't get an actual sack on the play or a strip sack and a fumble.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, how about that trade though? Kelvin Shepard for Jerry Hughes.
Yeah.
Straight up prior to 2013. I mean, it is one of the greatest trades in Bills history now. And it has to be. It has to go down as that. And I tweeted out the stats in case anybody didn't see it, putting them comparison side by side. Shepard's actually had more tackles in his career, but he is a middle linebacker. But Jerry, 47 total
and a half,
sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Shepard's got like what? Less than five or something like that, two sacks. And you know, he's made such an impact. And Kelvin Shepard, by the way, is currently a free agent. He's not even on a club. The other thing I'll say about Jerry, which is kind of unique, how many Bills players play? I know that his first contract wasn't signed by the clubs. They didn't draft him. He's on his third contract with the Bills guys. Like, that's another thing that you just don't see a lot unless you're a, you know, a Hall of Fame type of player, a quarterback, something like that. But even this day and age, you don't see many guys getting third contracts. Now, I think Kyle had four, right? Who else? There was some Lorenzo actually, because he signed some 1 year deals,
short,
you know,
deals
later,
yeah,
in his career.
Right.
But
course,
I mean, most guys don't come in and spend and have three different contracts with the team.
Does it count if you go practice squad to, on the team to release the, on the
no,
team? Like Ruvell
no.
Martin might have had.
I don't think that
fourth.
Counts.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that
no.
counts.
And finally, we had a texter write in with, or maybe it was a tweet about your question. Has Cameron
pass
wrote this?
Rusher.
Yes.
Has a quarterback ever been sacked by someone with the same name? Don't know about that, but what about Roy Williams tackling Roy Williams? Did that ever
yes.
happen?
I don't know. We have to check Roy Williams' official tackle stats.
Right.
That's
he would have horse collared him for sure. I mean, that was what,
yes,
that's what
right.
Roy Williams used to do. So.
No doubt about it.
All right. Have fun out at the stadium today. We'll be looking for your tweets.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
So Sal's going to be down there for the 11 o'clock media session with Sean McDermott, and then practice is at 11:30. It's full. It's open to the media. Josh Allen and selected players will be available afterwards. You can follow Sal on Twitter, at Sal Sports, for all the latest from Bills OTAs. Sal's segment was brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? When we get back, there's a report. The Bills have handed out a number that they haven't handed out in a long time.
Mm-mm.
Maybe a little controversial, too.
Mm.
We'll talk about that in a moment. According to Tim Graham, saw this at ProFootballTalk.com. Tim Graham from The Athletic reporting the Bills have finally given out number 32, which no one has worn since OJ was here. Sonoris Perry. Now, he's not at the Bills website. There are a handful of players who don't have a uniform number listed yet. He is one of those players that has no number listed on the Bills website. But Tim is reporting he's getting 32, and first time in 42 years someone will wear the jersey. We were talking about this a little bit in the break, and Brayton said, and I think, yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
It's
why
amazing.
They didn't hand that out.
Well, it's kind of amazing nobody has at camp. You'll double up numbers in OTAs.
Yeah,
you'll have multiple
defense.
Yeah. So a rostered player still hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And we'll see with him.
But, I mean, like, I just don't think because of what's happened with OJ. It's not like 12 or maybe even 34. They've handed out 83 a gazillion times. There are, I think, very few numbers, maybe two, three with Bruce, that you'd say, can't hand that number out. I think that ship sailed a long time ago with 32. He's on the Wall of Fame. He's still on the Wall of Fame. But I'm actually surprised that all these years have passed that they just have still thought of that as a number you did not hand out. And why now? Like, why all of a sudden would they decide to do it? So apparently Sonoris Perry has drawn the number 32. Whether he makes the roster is obviously a big
sure,
question.
Right.
I wouldn't expect him to, but you never know. So there you go. 32 is being handed out by the Bills.
Happy birthday, Josh Allen.
Which one?
The Bills, Josh Allen.
Just want to make
his
sure.
His 23rd birthday. And The Bills tweeted out a happy birthday to him. It's also Matt Hunwick's birthday.
Are they going to sing to Josh at practice today?
What's today? What is today? I bet they do. Why not?
May 21st.
May 21st. Let's see who Josh Allen and Matt Hunwick have as birthday bros. See if this is a good day to be born.
They bring out a cake. Josh is at the podium today. They should bring a cake out to him and sing to him.
Other births on this day, like successful sportsers. Josh Allen, 23 years old. All right, so he's birthday bros.
Your with power ranking birthdays.
Birthday buddies with, boy, it's slim picking so far. Not looking good, Josh. This is bad news. Oh, man, I'm still working. Craig Anderson, the hockey player.
The goalie, Yeah, okay.
Jamal McGlure, basketball player.
Ricky
Williams. The Ricky Williams.
Okay, that's a big name.
We're getting there. We're getting some improvement here.
Yeah.
The Notorious B.I.G. That's good.
Which sport did he play?
No,
he didn't play? Okay.
No. It is kind of slim pickings, though. We're not doing great.
So Josh ranks in the top 10 of birthdays. Maybe top 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
For this day, yeah, as I'm just still going back through.
It's kind of a ho-hum list.
It is. It's no June 25th, I'll tell you that.
I wonder who famous was born on June. Who that famous would have been born on June 25th?
George Michael. Carlos Delgado.
What's your birth date again?
June 25th.
Yeah, okay.
Jonas Enroth. You got to keep track of who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
You're connected for life. You don't even know yours, do you?
No.
It's terrible.
I know mine.
Brayton knows his.
And the thing is, I'm sure you have mentioned it on the show.
Of course.
I bet you went and checked June 2nd once, and I still... It's just not, it's one of those things that doesn't go in the little, the microchip in my head.
Texter writes in that his friend Craig has a birthday today, and he's cool. So there you go.
So add him to the list.
He shares with Josh Allen.
Guys,
all right,
okay.
June 2nd. Let's see if you've got anybody worth anything here.
I think there were some good names.
Oh, not a good start for you. Patrick Berglund.
Whoa.
Not a good start.
Oh, boy.
He's a quitter.
Oh, boy.
You do get Sergio Aguero. That's a solid solid get for you. Yeah, it doesn't count if you don't know who the person is,
Sergio
right?
Who?
Abby Wambach.
Okay, that's a good get. Right? Famous soccer player, Rochesterian.
Sure.
That's a good one. Sergio who?
Sergio Aguero.
What's a Sergio Aguero?
He's one of the best soccer players in the world, plays for Manchester City.
Oh, but I don't get credit for that one.
You don't, because you don't know who he is.
Nuts.
Lex Luger.
I thought you were going to say Lex Luthor.
No, Lex
and I
Luger,
been really embarrassed.
The wrestler. You got to be happy about that one.
That's cool.
Dana Carvey.
Oh, I always liked him.
Craig
thought he's funny.
Craig Stadler, the walrus.
Okay. I've got his waistline.
We didn't know this. Howard shares a birthday with Gary Bettman.
You had to tell me that, huh?
By the way, how old are you? What year were you born?
1962.
62, okay.
Gary Bettman?
Gary Bettman is 10 years older than you.
How does one go about legally changing their birth date?
It's going to be
tough. Is that something?
Is
that DMV?
Tough.
Is it the government? Who do I contact on that?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to move it to June 3rd.
You might want to do that.
I'm going to call my mom. Maybe they got the date wrong.
Exactly. There's been a mistake.
Is there any chance I was born at like 11:59, 12:01? Can we move it to a different day? Anything? Just shift it?
I happen to share a birthday with Rich Gannon, Jonah Hill, and former Saber Will Carrier.
Very nice.
Wow.
You got to remember these things.
Do you want Gary Bettman? Let's work out a trade. I'll give you Gary Bettman. You give me like a snack from the vending machine. We'll call it even.
Nah.
No? I got to throw something else in? 803-0550 to join us. Hey, coming up at 9:30 this morning, Paul Maurice is going to be with us on the show, the Winnipeg Jets head coach. You'd be saying, huh? Why? He is going to talk about Ralph Kruger. Paul Maurice was on the coaching staff with Ralph Kruger on the Team Europe squad in the 2016 World Cup. So we'll find out about the new Sabres coach from Paul Maurice. That's at 9:30. We are giving away a pair of tickets right now to see Chris Young this Friday. At Darien Lake Amphitheater, minimum value of the prize is $80. The tickets are courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Call now if you want to try and win. 644-9878. And we'll give away a pair of tickets to the fifth caller right now. Again, for Chris Young, that is this Friday. 644-9878 to win a pair of tickets. If you don't win tickets this week, they are still available at LiveNation.com.
If there's any chance at all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum
minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.